What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 28 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chan Man V, and joining me today is Mr. Trump here, who joins me each and every week. What's up, Trump?
Hello.
All right. And then our guest today is Raynon, back from Bucharest, hopefully rested by now. Now it's Thursday.
Yeah. Feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, cool. So we were supposed to have Tides on today, but Tides isn't able to make it yet. I mean, he might pop on like somewhere, I don't know, in the middle of the show, so we'll have to like adjust if that happens. But if not, we'll definitely try to have him on again sometime. But today we're going to be talking about, starting off by talking about DreamHack Bucharest, since Raynon was there, and it was a really cool event for everybody, including myself and Trump at home, just watching. It's definitely really, really cool. And then we'll talk about the new Paladin card that was announced, and followed up by some Rogue talk. So there's a lot of Rogue, a lot of different kind of Rogue decks going on in the metagame, so I figured it'd be good to get some Rogue love in Value Town. We'll finish it off with some Q&A with you guys, of course. And I kind of started the Reddit thread really late today, so put your questions in here whenever you get a chance, and we'll try to get to them. Upvote the ones your favorite questions so that I can kind of, you know, use that as the priority list, because it's hard to go through all of them each and every show. But all right, let's start off with some DreamHack talk. And Raynon, you were obviously one of the participants there in Romania, and you got pretty far too. I thought you were gonna, you know, possibly go all the way there, and well, thankfully your team member did. Gara did actually ended up taking the whole thing, which is really, really exciting. So tell me about your experience there.
Well, we we arrived and like pretty late in the night, and the guy organizing the event, Andre, and then PTZ, which was the Romanian caster that was on the Twitch stream. Those guys took us out to have some drinks, you know, talk about, you know, what's coming up the day after, and you know, they're really cool guys. Hung out with them all weekend. Eventually, you know, Saturday rolled around. I'm on like 2 hours of sleep. Gar's on like six, and we had to be awake for something like. It started at about 9 a.m. and it finished at about 4 a.m. Day one.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, that entire tournament was organized by, like, those two guys. They only had 16 computers to work with, and we were beating StarCraft in numbers. Like, that's crazy. we were trying to, like, finish a 128-player tournament in a day and a half, which is why it had to be, like, single elimination. But, yeah, it was, like, a nice, relaxed atmosphere in the, like, the room where they were doing the casting and all that, you know, and it was nice to, you know, play some games there in that environment and like do a bit of casting and stuff. It was pretty fun. And then, like, I mean, seeing Gara win is like, you know, the best thing that could have happened. Honestly, it's honestly much better for the team than me winning. I'm like really proud of how he played. So it was a pretty awesome weekend.
Yeah, I think it was definitely a breaking out moment, at least for Gara, because we've talked about Gara. You've told me just great things about Gar for some time now. So getting a chance to see him kind of on the stage in front of everybody doing well is huge, huge for him. And obviously for your team too. Trump, what did you think of the event at home? I mean, because me and you were watching it from home and enjoying it there. What did you think of the whole thing? Oh, your sound is off, buddy. We can't hear you.
Thank you.
There we go.
I was really excited by just how popular the event was. And I thought it was really well produced. Like I've seen some of the, I mean, it's really difficult to get that kind of like switching overlay going with no observer mode and whatnot.
Yeah,
you know better than I, Chan Man.
Oh yes, definitely know.
But yeah, it was well produced, and too bad it was single elimination. I would have liked to see more the second day, but I understood that they had to roll out quite a few other events.
Yeah, it was cool actually getting a chance to see it on the main stage. You know, because this, like you said, Raynon, it was produced by a separate company, you know, a separate Romanian company with these two guys. It wasn't necessarily DreamHack's production team doing the entire event, but it was really cool at least getting a chance to see the finals on the stage and you know, just seeing Hearthstone on the main stage of DreamHack. Hopefully we'll see the entire event on the main stage of DreamHack next time, or at least some part of it, or a bit larger part of it. But yeah, I thought it was a good time. So I had a question for you, either of you guys. So Gara, I think in the finals, right, he ended up kill commanding a fire elemental? He ended up kill commanding a fire elemental for three, okay, and because when he had a Houndmaster on the board. So my question to you is, was that actually a mistake, or was that like crazy high level play right there?
Like I said, we were we got to the hotel at like 4:30, and we had to be back at the event site at like 8:30 a.m. to play the match. Also, it was under the main stage, right under the speaker, so like you could just, you know, it was loud, like really, really loud for the player being right under it. Because they didn't play in booths like the StarCraft players did. Yeah.
So it was a mistake. Yeah, you're saying it was a mistake, basically.
Like it was pretty much the first. Like, I think Gar made like two mistakes the whole tournament in like a 9-round event, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was one of them, but it ended up working out all right.
Well, I mean, that's just why I asked, because it ended up working out great, because he ended up drawing.
Yeah. Yeah, Gar did it, and we were like, it was like Strifecrow, Savitz, Nimshmi, like all of us were sitting up front, like in front of the main stage, and we all watched it, and we were like, you know, like it's a mistake, and then I'm like, hold on a minute, maybe it was on purpose, and Strifecrow just looks at me, he's like, no, he did that way too fast for it to be on purpose, because he just like kill commanded, hero powered, end turn, didn't even think about it.
That's true, he did.
But yeah, no, it ended up working out fine, because... like, Daniel, the Shaman player, he was, like, not hero-powering against any of his Hunter opponents all tournament to play around Unleash the Hounds. But then, like, he had Argent Commander and a Fire Elemental, and he decided to trade the bubble instead of the Fire Elemental.
Yep.
So it was, like, kind of inconsistent with playing around Unleash the Hounds. So it ended up working out really well because he had, you know, two health creatures. So it was just, like...
Yeah, I was just curious because if it was... if it wasn't mistaken, then it was, like, it was mind-blowing to me because I would have been like, wow... That is crazy.
No, anytime anyone makes a play that's like that next level, they'll take a second to think about it, think, most of the time. But yeah, I wasn't sure either at first. I had to ask him.
Yeah, but anyways, that's like you said, if that was a mistake, it was one of the very, very few mistakes he made all weekend, and definitely good stuff. But yeah, excited, man. Hopefully this DreamHack will kind of spurn some more events, like these large-scale events in the near future. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think DreamHack Summer is going to be massive.
Oh gosh, yeah. I think it's going to be full out DreamHack. So the production level should be a level up. I mean, for me, the production was, you know, it was fun. Definitely more of a home story, seat story type of event, which is cool. You know, you guys get to go cast and that sort of thing. But I'm really curious to see what's going to happen whenever it becomes, you know, just a full out, very, you know, more of a kind of professional environment type of. Production. Yeah. That'll be really cool to see.
I mean, I hope it kind of stays a kind of a casual environment like that, because I mean, Hearthstone is not StarCraft, you know, it's meant to be more of a fun, accessible game, so it's nice to have like a relaxed atmosphere, even in the casting, I think, but we'll see.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on to some news in terms of Nox. So they announced a new card. New card yesterday, I think really early yesterday. And let me show you the card real quick. Kind of want to get your thoughts on this card. Oops, this is not the right card. There we go. So they announced an Avenge card, which is specific to the Paladin class. And it's a secret, too. So Trump, first thoughts on this this new secret that they announced.
Yeah, so that's really cool. Sort of cool. So one of the things that a lot of people have been asking about is whether or not, like, you get to choose which minion gets +3/+2. It was confirmed on official Twitter that it's a random minion. So I believe it doesn't trigger if you don't have another minion, on a side note. So anyways,
that's the good, obvious. That's really good.
The obvious downside to the card is, say they kill your only minion, then you can never trigger Avenge, and they just keep killing your minions. And that's sort of the problem with Paladin. We touched on this last time Reynard was here, that one of the weaknesses of Paladin is that so many of their cards work together. Like, you have the Argent Protector giving Divine Shield to a guy, but the requirement is you have a guy out, and that's tough to do sometimes. But this card is really efficient. One mana, +3/+2. That's really good stats, especially since it's a buff, so... Yeah, you might see aggro Paladin.
Yeah.
It's obviously meant for the aggro Paladin deck, and combos of Noble Sacrifice. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I was thinking about that too. It's kind of works well with the kind of Divine Favor type of deck too. Reynard, what do you think about this card?
I mean, I agree with Trump. I mean, if I think if the card has a home, it's in the aggressive Paladin deck. If you kind of compare it to Demon Fire, it's, yeah, you get a little bit more stats, and yeah, it costs one less mana, but it is like, you can't shoot their creatures, so it's like a lot less flexible, in my opinion, than Demon Fire. And even Demon Fire doesn't see much play, so if it does see play, I think it'll be in the like Secret Keeper Paladin deck. It's like an aggressive Paladin deck that just plays Secret Keeper. But I mean, that was back when you could trigger secrets on your own turn, so they were a bit stronger. Mm-hmm. We'll see, though. I'm not. It might be good. I mean, it is efficient. It'll just depend on how the metagame shapes up. It is kind of interesting, though, if you have two creatures, it's really tough for them to kill like both simultaneously. You know, they're not going to AoE two early game creatures, probably. So if they kill one, then the other one will become basically impossible to kill that turn. So I could see it being pretty strong in that situation.
It does create some cool board dynamic for your opponent, you know, making them have to really think through ordering and that sort of thing on another level, you know, versus what they probably have to do right now.
Also, a lot of the chat is mentioning about Harvest Golem, and I actually don't know how it will work with it. Like, if you only have Harvest Golem, if it'll trigger.
Yeah, I think that's the big question right now, because Harvest Golem would be amazing if it was comboed with this thing. Death Rattle is going to be a big question mark there, and hopefully one of the Blizzard folks can answer that. But in general, do you think it fixes any issues right now with Paladin? You know, maybe even Control Paladin, where it's like the early game is non-existent, and it's hard to fight off some of the early game from other classes right now?
Not even remotely. Yeah, it's not a 2-drop. That's what Paladin needs.
Yeah.
I got some hopes for it. I think if there are good 2-drops in Naxxramas, neutral cards, then perhaps Aggro Paladin has more of a chance. Oh my gosh, combo this with... No, that doesn't work. It kind of works. Yeah. Combo with Nerubian Egg. Whoa.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on the whole Death Rattle thing again, right?
I mean, like, I know that they won't kill your Nerubian Egg, so you play another guy, and you play Avenge, and then the Avenge will go on your Nerubian Egg, in theory.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay, that'd be pretty nasty. Oh my god, what, 7-6 coming from that bad boy? That would be pretty awesome. How do you compare this to the... go ahead, Rana.
Yeah, I don't think it really works with Death Rattle because of... I know that Sylvanas never steals Death Rattle no matter what, but I'm not sure if... Yeah, I'm not sure. We'll see. We should figure that out. Blizzard.
Sylvanas never steals Death Rattle?
Yeah, never. I used to think that it was like whoever played Sylvanas first and all of that, mm-hmm. but it's no matter what situation, Sylvanas cannot steal a Harvest Golem token or a Cairn token. It's just not possible.
Complete side note, Reynard. Have you figured out what happens when two Sylvanases fight each other yet?
There's like this Reddit post where some guy and his brother played like a million games to test all the Death Rattles, and I think it's the if it's two Sylvanases specifically, it's the first one played. I think the Death Rattle goes off first, so. Yeah, the two fight each other, then the second one that was played ends up winning, basically, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, I mean, from what the devs have said, it's supposed to be the order of the Death Rattle is the order of which it was played on the board. So the first Sylvanas that was played, his Death Rattle goes off before the other.
But Sylvanas is, like, really inconsistent with that, because if Cairn is played before Sylvanas, yeah, and you, like, if Sylvanas is at 4 health and you attack Cairn into Sylvanas, you know, the Cairn trigger should happen and then the Sylvanas trigger should happen, but it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you compare this this card to the Druid one? Do you think it's kind of equal in power and that sort of thing, or do you think one is a little bit stronger than the other? If, you know, for the class itself. Trump, what do you think?
I don't think that the two can be compared. Like, they're completely different. You would use the Druid card is probably, I mean, if the card were to exist right now, you wouldn't see it being played because currently the metagame is Hunters and Warlock Zoo.
Yeah.
Although I think that's going to change with this season, possibly. I can sense the shifting winds. Let's see. But yeah. That's not to say that it won't be a good card, like, if the format is different. Say there are more big cards. This card is one of those cards which is just going to be very specifically good in the aggro paladin deck if an aggro paladin deck works. So it's a fine card.
Or not? Any thoughts?
Yeah, pretty much agree then.
Okay, cool. All right, yeah, so really excited to see some more of the class cards. I guess they're just going to be releasing them. I don't know, maybe it's not too far from the summer, honestly, so maybe one or two a week or something like that. I mean, there's still, what, 7 more class cards to release, as well as the remaining 16 cards that I believe they haven't shown. So lots more to hear about before the actual release of Nox, and can't wait to see it. So you mentioned just, like, changing winds, Trump, you know, in the meta. What are you seeing that kind of gives you that impression?
Well, one thing that Liquid Hearth does is they ask players about, like, they post this power ranking list of classes every so often. Mm-hmm. And I've actually ranked Hunter number 4 or number 5, which I believe is really in contrast to, like, everyone else is just ranked at number 1. Mm-hmm. But I can sense that Hunters are going to get hated out this season. That's all.
Okay, so hated out meaning just completely countered, I guess you could say.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the format, like a lot of people say, it's like 50% Hunter, 60%, 70% Hunter. Depends on who you ask. Depends on how people exaggerate. But there's a lot of Hunter. And I'd say just hard counter Hunter, and you're good this season to start.
Definitely,
and that's going to cause the winds to change. Like Ben came on last week. He said, if you want to counter Hunter, it can be done. And I was like, I'm not sure about that, but recent developments have made me believe it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Raynaud, what do you think?
I think there definitely is less Hunter in the metagame like right now than there was a few days ago or a week ago. But it's not because people are hard countering the deck or anything like that. I honestly see more Druid than anything. I think it's just because people are getting bored of playing the deck, in all honesty. We tested for 48 hours about trying to find some deck that has a positive win rate against Hunter. And honestly, there are like 3 decks there are about 3 decks that do. They have about a 60-65% chance against it, but it's not, none of them are popular. It's like Miracle Rogue, Tempo Rogue, and third one skipped my mind. It's not Aggro Hunter. I already forgot for some reason. But yeah, there's basically like 3 decks that can do it. And the decks that are being popular right now aren't like necessarily hard counters the Hunter. Like, I'm seeing a ton of Druid, but that's a pretty good matchup for mid-range Hunter, I think. So
yeah,
I think if you're a Hunter player, you can be pretty happy. And if you're one of those players that hates Hunter, you can also be pretty happy, because like there's just less of it for some reason. I'm not sure why. It doesn't seem like any worse or anything. I think Wreckful just got Legend in a day, like yesterday.
Yeah, he definitely did. I was popping in his stream every so often just to see where he was, and yeah, he was doing pretty well. I think he was. Did he have a Snapjaw on his? He might have had a Snapjaw on his.
Yeah, he was playing that for. He was actually like in the like Tempo Storm Skype chat thing. He was talking about that like when, like the day after Kalento got rank 1, mm-hmm. when we were all playing the deck and stuff, trying to learn it. He was talking about Snapjaw, and I think like the reason that we didn't play it was because of Stampede and Kodo, because it just kind of plays into that curve of Stampede and Kodo, and but Strifecrow likes that card too. I think he played it at Bucharest.
Yep. Yeah, he was talking about it. I think I remember leading into it, and I don't think he had shown it yet until Bucharest, but it makes sense. I mean, it's really hard. As long as you can buff it, if you can get a Houndmaster on it, it's pretty like hard to like, remove. I mean, not even sure what
I was trying to Druid yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Yeah, I was trying it in Druid instead of Yeti, because it has like the same stats, but it's better with Sunfury and Defender, sort of, against aggressive deck.
Oh, okay. Still, you're still susceptible to the Kodo, though, right? Which is a little scary. Crazy value, yeah. Man. Kodo on that card would be great. All right, so Trump, any plans on a free deck this season?
Oh no, this season I'm going to get to number 1 spot in Legend.
All right. So no free deck, no messing around this season. All right, cool.
I think after a while you're going to become jaded and upset at ranked like I have become on stream. It's It's a frustrating experience.
So what do you think about this whole top? So the top 16 announcement, where I was this past season, and you guys didn't finish top 16, did you? I don't know what the final list was, because
no, it's like so different than every other season, because now people actually are playing games at high ranks. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I got into Legend when there were about 80 legendary players this season, which is like pretty early in the season, and then I took it up to about rank 3. And then I just sat on it for like a week. And when I came back, I was ranked 20. Like, that would never happen in an older season. You would just stay ranked 3. But now people are playing, so they climbed above me. I was ranked 20, and I had to play, and I dropped down to like 1,200 by the time I played ranked again, you know? And yesterday I was trying to get it to top 16, and I got it. I went from 1,600 up to 30. But, like, it used to be that you'd only get, like, one rank per win when you were, like, ranked 10 up or 10 or higher. But now when you hit, like, 30, that's the wall. That's where, like, every win, you get one rank if you're lucky. And that's, like, yeah, that's why I just didn't have the time. Like, to get from 30 to rank 1, even on a win streak, you would have to play for, like, days, I think. So, yeah, it was just, like, it's not possible to hit top 16 in a day anymore like it used to be, which is really surprising to me.
I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, Trump, what do you think about that?
Yeah,
I mean, I've been just keeping my ear to the wall, so to say, like those Hearthstone back channels, and there is a lot of talk about, oh my gosh, I'm trying to hit top 16, like I'm rank 14 right now, I gotta make sure to play a game if I drop. So like a lot of people were just waiting around and making sure that they wouldn't be dethroned or whatnot. A lot of competition, and that's good because it's making the top ranks of ladder right now really mean something. And it's pretty competitive.
Yeah, it's nice to see all the top players having to, you know, really play ladder like each and every day, especially towards the end of the season. Because, you know, before people just squat, you know, in some way squat on a rank, and they were able to do that just because, like you said, not as many people were the top players were playing once you got to a certain level, or, you know, once you hit rank 1, you can say you were rank 1, you know, in this season, and, you know, from a promotional standpoint, it's you're done, you know, it's good. That's it. But now, at least there's something more to play for. And the top 16, you know, the first season is always going to be the hardest one because there's not 16 players yet, right? But every subsequent one, those 16 players can't, you know, get counted for the next season, right? So even if they were the top 16, they would take the next, you know, 17 through 32, and those would be the top 16, right, to qualify for the tournament, the regional tournament for the BlizzCon Championship. So it's going to get a little bit easier. I mean, just,
I don't know
kind
about
kind
that
of
because
I mean,
at the
not
same
really.
Time, there's more people coming to the Hearthstone with the release of iPad and whatnot.
That's true.
And just because there's so much competition, people might be drawn to it. So I don't know if it'll strictly get easier. And who knows? Maybe the people who got high ranks in Season 1 are just going to want to get high ranks in Season 2 again, even though they can't qualify again. They'll, you know, just for bragging rights or just for the challenge or just for practice, they'll try to get legend number 1 again.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely will be a lot more, so yeah, that's a good point actually. But okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk about some rogue cards here, or just rogue decks here, and let me switch over here real quick. And I figured the way we'd do is we'd talk about, I guess, three of the more popular rogue decks that we see in the metagame, at least last season, and even going into this season. And those would be the Temple Rogue, Miracle Rogue, and even the Malagus Rogue, which has some similarities with Miracle Rogue, which we can discuss. But Tempo Rogue, let's talk about that. And I think generally from the community, or in just generally from a lot of folks, Tempo Rogue has been maybe one of the few decks that can do well against the Zoo deck and the Hunter deck, which have been mostly the metagame the last season. What are your thoughts on this deck right now? Trump, I mean, this deck hasn't changed that much over time, so it's still, you know, fairly similar to what it was like even seasons ago.
Yeah, somewhat true, and somewhat false at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever you change just one card in the deck, you're changing probably like 5%, just because of the number. I know it doesn't quite equal that because like 1 out of 30 isn't 5%, but there's some cards that are just cemented in, like Backstab, for example. You're never going to cut Backstab, so like maybe there's 10 to 20 cards that you can change, which is a lot, and so you change one of them, that's a lot. That said, I think it's seen a lot of changes. Like right now in this tempo rogue, there's a Sap, there's a Defiant String Leader, there's a Spiteful Smith, there's Black Knight, there's Sprint. All these cards are cards that you would be very surprised to see, like, back in the day or whatnot.
No, Defiant String Leader has always been in it, right?
Oh, not true. It's really? Come and gone. Okay. Like, it used to be you always put it in, and then it got nerfed, and then you still always put it in, and then you never put it in because it sucked. And now there's one of them in there. Like, maybe there's two of them in some copies.
Yeah.
So this deck's changed a lot, and this particular deck, in, I think there's a lot of things that you can change about it. Like, one of the most flexible decks, I'd say.
Okay,
you could see, like, a Phantom Knives in there, Perdition's Blade, Cairn, Ragnaros. There's a lot of cards I could lift off, list off that could be in this deck, which aren't.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely different versions of the Tempo Rooks. Of course, I have to just pick one and, you know, have us kind of discuss it. So, you know, here and there, there's probably two or three cards that are a little bit different than maybe some other Tempo Rooks. Like Savitz, I think Tempo Rogue might be a tiny bit different. But, yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Reynaud, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, it's a really flexible deck. There's a lot of ways to build it. Personally, I don't like it as much as Miracle, but it's it is a strong deck. I think there's, if you're going to play Tempo Rogue, I think you have to play two Cold Bloods. That's basically how you beat Hunter. It's like the whole, one of the bigger reasons to play the class. And then, personally, I like Blood Accelerator more than Defy String Leader, because he's still good if you have coin, and he's much better when you're going first. But yeah, it's a solid deck. I think that Assassin's Blade is a card that was really popular like last season, and it was good because there was a lot of decks like Warrior Control and stuff that gave you time to play a card like that, but nowadays you just can't play it. I tested a lot of Rogue leading up to Bucharest. I played Miracle Rogue for like a day straight just trying to learn it, because I'm like, oh, this deck beats Hunter, I have to know how to play it, you know. I tested Tempo Rogue too, and I just, yeah, Assassin's Blade personally was just too slow in my opinion in every version of it, but it is a strong deck. Yeah, it can beat anything, but it can also lose to anything.
Yeah. I mean, kind of moving on to Miracle, you know, the Miracle decks, again, that this kind of archetype's been around for a long time, but there have been some, there's definitely some differences here where there's, you know, some Earth and Ring Fireseers now. There's just more minions, I think, than a long time ago, which was, like, totally about the combo and, you know, Conceal Gadgets and Cold Blood, that sort of thing, right? So when you were talking about Assassin's Blade right now, were you talking about the Miracle deck or the Tempo Rogue? Where
all of them.
All of them. Okay, all of them, right?
But it's... yeah, Miracle is an interesting deck. Basically, the reason they're playing more creatures now is because it gives you stuff to do when you don't draw the Auctioneer, which is, like, the weakness of the deck, usually. If you don't draw Auctioneer, you're going to have a bad time. But, yeah, it's a strong deck. This is closer to the one that I was playing. I probably prefer Miracle compared to all three of them. Although I definitely lose to the Malagos Rogue deck more often than I lose to any other version of it. Something about that deck just makes it, like, possible to play against.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, it's so dependent upon spells, right? So it's, you can't really stop it too much with, like, things like Taunt and Minions and that sort of thing. So it always catches people by surprise too whenever they run. Not so much nowadays. I mean, once you see Sinister Strike, you pretty much know what it is. But so what makes Miracle Rook so strong against Hunter?
It makes Unleash a blank card. That's the big strength. Mm. And you also have answers to everything. Like, most other classes have trouble dealing with high main, but you have access to Sap. And Blade Flurry is actually pretty good against them. When they Houndmaster something, it's really easy to... Like, when they Houndmaster something, Blade Flurry will pretty much always kill their board. But yeah, it also kills them before they kill you. If they're on the Burn You Out plan, the Rogue deck is usually a turn faster. So it's generally slightly favored against the mid-range Hunter deck, although it's weak to the hyper-aggressive Hunter deck, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's true. The experience I've had with Rogue, definitely the Face Hunter was much more difficult. Trump, have you played much Miracle, or?
I'm a big noob when it comes to this Miracle stuff, but what I'm curious about is, how did this happen? Where'd they find room for an Earthen Ring Farseer and an Azure Drake and, like, and Loot Hoarders?
I've never seen a list like that. I don't know. It's, most of ours, basically, instead of Loot Hoarder, we play, like, a second Fan of Knives. Never play Farseer and Miracle, never play Azure Drake and Miracle. We all played two Acolyte of Pain. and a second Cold Blood and a second Conceal.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's I think that's more of a more popular version of it for sure.
No, that may be the more popular version. I think this version has merits though, just because it's got more plays you can do on your turn without being reactive, I suppose.
It's got a little bit more of the Malagus Rogue influence, I think, in this Miracle than again, the more traditional one, which is all about card draw and drawing into the some type of combo, right, to do a lot of damage. How does Edwin play a factor in the Miracle Rogue for you, Raynon?
I cut him. He gets Hunter's Mark, or Iron Beak, Alder, Keeper of the Growth.
Okay, so you cut him all together. Okay.
Yeah, like, why would you all in on your hand and just, like, lose the game to Hunter's Mark or something? Like, what's the point?
Right.
I never saw the strength of it, really. I mean, if you coin it turn two and you have a 4/4, that's, like, good, but then I'm playing Animal Companion in my Miracle Rogue deck, which, I don't really want a 3-mana 4/4 in Miracle Rogue. I'd rather just save my coin in Hero Power.
Okay. All right. That's cool. I've always played it in my, or just, you know, the version I play, so that's never actually cut it, so that's cool. Let's see. Let's move on a little bit to Malagus Rogue. How much have you guys played the Malagus Rogue?
I haven't played it at all. I've lost to it all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I've beaten it, like, once out of 10 games.
Yeah, I think it's got some popularity to it just because it runs Malagus, so it's got that sexiness appeal.
Yeah. Everybody's been trying to make a viable Malagus deck for a long time now, so I think this one, maybe a Druid one I've seen from Tides, has been the closest thing to it. So what do you think are the strengths of it? Trump, I'll kind of ask you first, and then Raynon, you can follow up.
All right, well, when you compare the Mal Rogue to the Miracle Rogue, you can see that it's... and this Miracle Rogue is more of a blend between Raynid's Miracle Rogue when he plays in Mala Rogue. It's got the Earthen Ring Farseers, it's got the Azure Drake, so you'll notice basically the Mala Rogue deck is a lot less reliant on having the Gadgetzan Auctioneer, which is a strength and weakness because it's strong because when you don't draw the Gadgetzan Auctioneer, then you're going to be much better off when you can play things like Earthen Ring Farseer and Azure Drake, which are just strong cards by their own right. They keep you alive, give you more chances to draw the Gadgetzan Auctioneer. On the downside, though, when you do draw the Gadgetzan Auctioneer, you're going to be a bit less explosive, since there's no Leroy Jenkins here, and there's no Shadow Step, so it's less of a, it bursts you for 18 or 22 damage or whatever. There's not even Cold Blood in here. Yeah. But it's more of a incremental thing, and the burst is different. You get to turn 10, and then you Malagos Sinister, Sinister. So it's like different flavor, but same general style. This one's rarely going to win before turn 9, but it's more consistent, I would say.
Okay, Raynon, what do you think of this deck?
Tripp pretty much covered it. This deck is way stronger when you don't draw Auctioneer, but it's less good than the Miracle version with Leroy when you do draw Auctioneer. I didn't know there was a list of this available anywhere. There were just like two players last season, actually, one in EU and two in NA, three players, I guess, that were playing this, and I would get paired against them all the time, and they were always about top 30 legend. And I actually had no idea I played Malagos. Like, I'd played against this deck maybe 10 times at least last season. Never knew Malagos was in it. I always lost.
Oh, really? You lost before Malagos? Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, I was playing Sinister Strike, and I wasn't sure why, but now that you see Malagos in it, it makes sense.
Yeah. Wow.
But, okay. Yeah, they're, it's a strong deck, definitely. There are some changes I would make, as with most lists. Like, I would probably cut the Malagos and the Sinister Strikes, but that's me.
Put in Leroy and Shadow Steps instead.
Maybe. We'll see. Shadow Steps pretty good in this deck. You have a lot of cards that work well with it. Yeah, it works well with Auctioneer, too, especially when you don't have Conceal. I would play a second Sap, probably, and cut the Big Game Hunter, because I don't really understand why he's in the deck. But, it's a good deck.
Yeah, I played it some. I played the version that didn't have Assassin's Blade. I tried to change some. I added Conceal for a while and took out Assassin's Blade, but this version seemed to still be the best version. And I think this is the version that Atak, I think, was playing. I think he might have been one of the NA players that was one of the people that made it a little bit popular. But in general, though, you know, it's really popular. I'm surprised, like, he lost it before Malagus, because I feel like that when I was playing, it always had to come down to something with Malagus a lot of times against a lot of the decks. So it's kind of interesting that that happened. Yeah, Gadgetzan's definitely, you know, it'll be nice to draw like two or three cards from Gadgetzan, but you never draw more than that. You'd be really, really lucky to do that. But it's, I don't know, it's a really good deck. It actually does pretty well against Hunter too. I don't think it does nearly as well as Miracle, but it actually fights off Hunter pretty well. So it was, you know, getting to Legend, definitely a deck that you could get to Legend with. Assassin's Blade ended up being pretty important to this deck, though. So, you know, unlike maybe the other two, Assassin's Blade seemed to make a huge difference for me, because I think the weapons damage is pretty important to this deck, too. Getting it in range of the combo at the end. But definitely a fun deck. Yeah, if you guys want to just play a fun Malagus deck, definitely check this out. And even if you're just getting a chance to learn Rogue, and you know, Miracle Rogue and Malagus Rogue, these rogues that really heavily depend upon comboing and kind of that card drawing cycle, it's really great to, you know, again, just to really make those mistakes and really learn how to play this class. So definitely check it out if you get a chance to. But okay, well, any last thoughts on Rogue, guys?
Yeah, I'd say if you're starting to learn the game, this is not the deck
oh, God,
to pick up first.
Man, all right. Never mind, then. I the only reason I say it is because, like, that's what I did. Like, when I first learned Rogue, I just started out with Miracle Rogue and made a shitload of mistakes, but ended up learning them really quickly because of all those mistakes.
Yeah, I think Tempo Rogue is a good place to start if you're new to the game. The deck's nice and cheap, and it's pretty straightforward. It has a lot of options, too, so you learn a lot.
All right, cool. Why don't we move on to some Q&A? Let me take a quick break here, and then we'll move on to some Q&A. So get your questions in. Here's the Reddit thread once again, and you know, we'll try to get your questions in. All right, we'll be right back, guys. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to be doing some Q&A with you guys. Some good questions here on Reddit. Actually, some of them we've already answered, so some of the top questions, you know, I might be skipping, and that's the reason I skipped them, is just because we've answered. Like the first one, for instance, we talked about counters to mid-range Hunter and then just kind of the metagame for Season 2. So we'll move on to...
I want to add some decks to that question.
Okay, sure. Go ahead. Go for it.
I think that a altered version of Warrior, Kit Kats recently have posted lists, which are made available.
Yes.
I think that could be a good perhaps over 50%, perhaps over 60%.
Perhaps over 70%.
I think the Druid deck that Gaara ran at DreamHack has a maybe 50-50. Reynard would know more about this than I would.
Yeah, Gaara's deck, I think, is 45% in every single matchup, which is really good for a tournament and really bad for ladder. It's so hard to explain. It's like, it has no bad matchups, but it has no good matchups. So it's like, he was banking on just kind of understanding his role in every matchup a lot better than his opponents and, like, playing better. But yeah, for against mid-range Hunter, Gaara was beating it all tournament. Mm-hmm. According to him, you just never play more than one creature at a time. And apparently it wins. So I haven't played enough with it myself to really know, but I mean, I trust his advice on that.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And Trump, yeah, just kind of follow up on your Kit Kat's Warrior comment. Yeah, that deck is crazy good. And I mean, I played it up to Legend 2, and I know a lot of the top players in the top 16 were playing that deck too. So really great. And there's a Reddit thread, guys, if you didn't check it out, that goes through the whole thing. I think Kit Kat, I forget what site it's on, but check it out. It's in the top 25 right now on Reddit, so you can click on that. Let's see, next thing we got from BenBenB. Can you two reveal any more about the kind of content we'll be able to expect from Tempo Storm? Well, I guess Reynard specifically. How do you feel about the roster moving forward? And obviously Gaara has been shown a beast, but will we be seeing the same from Wreckful and Tides?
Yeah, hopefully. We'll definitely be at DreamHack Summer. I think they're going to perform really well. I think Tides is probably the best control player in the world, honestly. He just plays the game so differently than anyone else I've seen, and that's exactly the kind of archetype that does well in tournaments, like in these long drawn out events where you can't really afford a loss to something random. So yeah, I think they're both gonna perform really well. My website, the website is launching in like 10 to 14 days, something like that, which should be pretty exciting because it's just gonna be like kind of a different strategy content website than the other ones that are out right now. It's gonna be like, I don't know, really in-depth stuff by really good players. So hopefully the community likes it and you guys take a look. And then, yeah, the Lord of the Arena tournament, which Trump and I are playing in, it's actually going to air at like the same time the website launches.
Oh, cool.
We're almost done with the games. And, yeah, that's been pretty fun so far. So, it's going to make the first ever arena tournament, and that's going to be there to, like, you know, promote the website launch. But, yeah, we should be at DreamHack. We're going to be playing all the big events. I really want to be able to, like, salary these players and fly them out to all the big tournaments. Like, that's the goal. So I think we'll be able to do that. And, yeah, they're really good. So I would be surprised if if we didn't perform well in the coming tournaments.
No, that's awesome, man. So definitely dream of players to be salaried and flown to all the events around the world. That'd be amazing if you guys are going to be able to do that in the very near future. And Tides, yeah, Tides is amazing. I wish Tides would have been on here today because
his sleep schedule.
I know.
It's a tough guy to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's we actually just launched the Twitter and the Facebook for all that. So if you guys.
Okay.
You guys can go ahead and look those up. In Twitter, it's tempo_storm. Mm-hmm. And you can just look at my Twitter, and I linked it. And then there's also the Facebook is tempo_storm_hs. So
okay. Yeah, go and check that out, guys. And definitely going to be excited to see what's going to be on the content. So the content's going to be any players, right? Not just Tempo Storm? Any players can post stuff there? Or
it's any players can like save their decks there and ask questions about them and all that, but it's going to be like different members in the community like contributing to the content on the website. It's going to be like, I want like two, it's going to be mostly video content, right? So it's going to be like me, Gaara, Tides making, whenever we make a new deck, we're going to like go do an in-depth guide on how to play it and like play it on ladder and talk through games and all that. Kind of like you do on stream, but with way more commentary and actually like with a focus on teaching. Mm-hmm. And then there's also going to be a whole lot of content from other members of the community. Like, I'll have to start approaching people, honestly, and today or tomorrow about putting some content up. But there's, like, a lot of good players on Ladder that just want a place to get their name out there. So,
yeah,
you know, why not do a deck guide or something and put it up on, you know, tempostorm.com. Why not?
Yeah. Sounds good, man. Definitely going to be excited about that. Let's see. Let's move on to the next question. The Arc asks, or Arch asks, ever since BlizzCon, every tournament has been the last hero standing format, generally best of three. I feel like this format gives open hands and RNG too much of a deciding factor, but best of five seems to take too long. Any ideas for different formats? Also, as suggested on Reddit, do you think seeing the discards from tracking would be a suitable nerf to hunters? They have the only scribe in the game without its drawbacks. Trump, what do you think? I'll get your comments on this.
All right, so on the first topic, I think best of three doesn't even out the randomness quite enough, I agree. Basically, for whoever wants to get the most consistent showing or whatnot, then the more games, of course, the better. So you should do best of five whenever possible, mm-hmm. Double elimination whenever possible. But, you know, time, so you weigh it. It's a tough balance. On the topic of tracking, I did recently wake up to see a surprising post on the first post of Reddit, which is Hearthstone Reddit, which is, oh man, I figured out the actual problem with Hunter, and it's tracking. And the change that they're suggesting is quite minor, I think. And it could be done. I don't think it would raise many waves. It's basically, normally with tracking, you secretly choose one card out of three, and then the rest of the two other cards are burned, and then the rationale was sometimes you burn your second, unleash the hounds, and the opponent doesn't know, and they're playing around it. So by revealing the cards that you trash, then you give your opponent a bit more information. Similar to how Soulfire, they know what card you discarded, so they don't have to play around that card either. I understand the rationale. It'd be an okay change. I'm neither for or against. I'm not really as enthusiastic as the original poster on that being the problem point.
Okay. Reyna, what do you think of the current tournament formats?
I think that the current tournament formats are what they are because there's like two types of tournaments. There's like these tournaments like Bucharest, which are these open tournaments with a ton of players and very little resources trying to make it all happen, which puts a constraint on like what the tournament format can be. You can't have like best of five when you're trying to finish a 108 player tournament or 128 player tournament in a day and a half. Like, you just can't do it. So the other type of tournament is like these invitational like 8-player tournaments, which are really popular for like companies trying to get their name out there into the scene. And then for these tournaments, they can't really do Swiss because it would be it also take too long, like with so few players. You want like a 3 to 4 hour broadcast or something like that. So it's just like, depending on what you're trying to do, different formats have their pros and cons. But I think the best format would be a Swiss format, like Swiss best of three. If you do Swiss, the whole best of three element is fine. Swiss best of five would just take way too long. But like Swiss best of three and then a clean cut at like, for example, if you have, for those of you who don't know what Swiss is, you just like play like 7 matches against opponents with a similar record. So if you won your first three, you have a record of 3-0. You play against someone else who's 3-0. Basically, I think if it's like 7 rounds, it should be a clean cut at 5-2. Mm-hmm. Because usually Swiss, they do a cut at like the top 8 players. The problem is the rank 9 player has the same record as the rank 8 player, so tiebreakers end up mattering. So I think if you take tiebreakers out of the equation and have it like a clean cut and then play one extra round for the top whatever, I think that's the best system. But, you know, it's not always an option, depending on what kind of tournament's being run.
I mean, so far, we've pretty much seen every single event being run in the BlizzCon format. Oh, man. Look, you just showed up, guys. We're going to have to get him on next time. Ty's just showed up, guys. That's why. Went crazy here. We'll get him in. We'll have to have him on another time. It's kind of late, but so what do you guys... Drew, what's up, man?
What's up?
Well, we're probably going to have you on another time, unfortunately, man. We're just, like, kind of rounding out the show, but thanks for hanging out, though, for a second.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, but let me talk to you later. I'll talk to you later about it, though. God. All right, that's funny. I was going to ask you guys about, I guess, the tournament format. Everything has pretty much been BlizzCon format since, gosh, I don't even know since when. What do you think about the single deck format? Is it even viable given the design of the game right now and just kind of the popularity of just this whole multi-class type of thing? Or do you think that there could still be, maybe even like a main, a very popular tournament series that's just only a single deck where you can, have side, like a, side deck, not side decks, but a side table and that sort of thing.
I don't really see the benefit. Like, why would you do? It's just people who are comfortable with Magic. They're like, oh, why don't you use the same format as Magic? It's like, it doesn't have any advantages. The multi-deck format gets to showcase a bunch of different classes, which is more exciting for the viewers and the players. You still get to, like, react to what your opponent's doing by picking a different class rather than switching out cards. There's all these logistical issues you don't have. Like, how do you know that people are only switching cards out from their sideboard, for example, as opposed to other cards? And then, like, yeah, it's just, there's so many advantages to the multi-deck format that's only possible because it is an electronic game that we should just take advantage of that. I think it's a lot better than playing one deck and using a sideboard. Like, I don't really see what advantage that would have.
Trump, thoughts?
Yeah, pretty much agree. Like, the multi-deck format showcases a lot more flavor because you showcase different hero abilities as well. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's better than a side door or a side fan, whatever it's called.
Sideboard.
Yeah, There it is. Okay, next question. Let's see. We talked about the Paladin already. Let's see. What idea? Okay, so Andrella asked, what ideas for new cards for particular classes would you see? Like, I guess for a priest, asking specifically for a priest. What do you think they would, what single card would you add to a priest right now, class only?
2 mana, destroy a creature with power equal to 4.
Oh, man. Okay, just to kind of complete the Shadow Ward. The Shadow Ward series, basically.
Shadow Ward Yeti. Yeah, it'll be really good.
Trump, what do you think?
Well, you stole my answer. I think that's the answer I've given in the past.
That's true. That's true. Whoops. Okay, let's see. Well, any serious answer? I guess just a...
No, that is a serious answer.
Okay. Yeah.
Why not have like a card that specifically kills a 4-attack minion?
Be like a 2-drop, I guess. I don't know. Like, maybe like a 2-drop 1/5. I know that's insane stats, but when you compare it to like Armorsmith. But if they had like a 2-drop 1/5, and every time it took damage, you healed that much, maybe that's OP. I don't know.
Your hero healed that much?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That'd be a
cool, I think like cool a boss set, every time it attacks, it heals itself to full or something. Like, there's lots of different ways to do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Whatever it is, it has to be cheap, I think.
Yeah, similar to the Paladin, when a priest just naturally needs to keep stuff on the board because the hero ability interacts with stuff on the board, only your stuff. And if you don't have any stuff, then that's too bad. So what they're missing is some way to gain control of the early game somehow, which somehow is better than Zeus' early game. Like, not better, but competitive enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe like Shadow Well, where he like deals 3 damage randomly instead of healing. But at like the beginning of your turn, so it's not like Ragnaros level OP.
Right, right. Wow, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so next question here. We'll kick a few more here.
Shadow Well? Have you even played World of Warcraft?
Not even remotely. I've played Warcraft 3, and I don't remember much of it because I was like 13. But... I don't know. Moonwell? No, that would do something different.
Gosh.
Night Elves had that thing where you replenish mana. I don't know, man. I just played Dota 1 and Footman Wars. I don't remember.
Okay, next question. We got BW GoGo. Do you think Icy Winds is a viable counter to Hunter decks?
What's that?
I'm not sure. That's kind of what I was wondering with you guys. I think it might be. Is it a mage deck? Maybe the Frost Mage deck? I'm not sure.
What was the deck name again?
Icy Winds.
That sounds like a frost mage.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, it's just in general. Do you think the freezing mage or frost mage archetype is good against the hunter decks? Trump, what do you think?
First.
Okay, Rena. What do you think, Renan?
I think Flare is a card. Picarda and Drug playing. I don't know. Maybe it's good against Hunter. Yeah, I'm not really sure. I've only played against it once with Hunter. It was actually in Bucharest. I don't know. I'd have to play it more to see.
I mean,
it's a deck that you don't really see very often. It's super rare.
Yeah, I mean, I see people just kind of messing around with it, but yeah, Flare is pretty devastating to that deck, I would assume. Losing Ice Block and even Ice Barrier, if you're using that, is pretty integral to that deck's late game, or at least the late finish. So, not sure about that, but I don't know. My first gut is that it probably wouldn't be good.
Okay, so this just in, and this is actually something I've seen before. This is that super aggressive mage deck.
Oh, the one
has
with...
has the Knife Juggler Mirror Image combo, and has the... the Sorcerer's Apprentice and the Mirror Image combo, and just all these cheap spells, the missiles, the lances, the frost bolts, and whatnot. We were talking about how Mage lacked synergy last week, and like this is a deck that actually sort of takes some synergy together. Like, you got the frost bolt, and then you got the ice lances, mm-hmm. and they cost less mana because of the Apprentice. And yeah, it's an aggro mage deck. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Aggro Mage deck is actually really good against Midrange Hunter. That was like the third deck I forgot to mention earlier. It's like it's actually really good against Midrange Hunter. But yeah, I hope that whatever new mage cards and then you said do have some synergy, because right now the synergy is kind of limited to burn spells with an opponent that has a face. That's like every time I lose to them, it's like Fireball, Frostbolt, Ice Lance, and you're just like, you got me. I hope that... Because the class is so fun to play. I don't know. I hope they just make it a little stronger. But yeah, the Rush deck is good against Midrange Hunter. And it's cheap too, I think, if you're trying to beat it. So.
Yeah, it's definitely cheap, for sure. I've definitely lost to it a few times too on the ladder recently. So if they get off of that fast start, it's just crazy. It gets insane really quick. Okay, maybe one more question here. Let's see. Oh, here's one. Black Tomato asks, do you think Venture Co. is viable in Tempo Rogue? And then I'll actually extend it. Do you think Venture Co. is viable in any deck right now in the current meta? Trump?
It's not that bad. It gets big game hunted, but I think in Tempo Rogue I'd rather have Spiteful Smith. Usually like some 5-drop you'd rather have, like Azur Drake or something.
I think the Venture Co. Mercenary was good, and then it's barely going to miss the mark on goodness here, because Big Game Hunter is once again rising in stock and popularity. Used to be that Big Game Hunter had shifted out a bit because it was so much Zoo and Hunter, but and right now it might still be good, but in a world where there's Big Game Hunter, it's just not as good.
Okay. Well, all right, guys. Thanks for all the questions in the Reddit, and I think we're just going to wrap up the show now, but... Again, guys, always great having you on, Renan, obviously, for coming on and discussing. It's always a great episode with you on here, so good times again. You want to do some shout-outs? Thank yous?
Yeah, shout-out to Gar for winning DreamHack. That was sick. And, shout-out to Tides for winning next DreamHack, and we'll see.
A free shout-out for the next DreamHack. Yeah. Nice, man. Nice.
Hopefully you guys like the website, like the tournaments and stuff that we're going to host. And yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Definitely. Trump, shout outs. Thank yous.
A shout out to Garl also for creating a deck which will change the metagame. Goodbye, Hunters. Heard it here first. You're going away because of Druid. And also shout out to KitKats because of his warrior deck that's going to also kill off the hunters. So prepare for a new season. We're going to see the downfall of hunters finally.
You know, I have to reiterate that shout out to KitKats because that's the warrior deck that helped me get to legend this season. And it's great against hunters. So we'll see if Trump is a prophet here, and we'll see what the percentages of all the classes played, I guess, at the end of the season will be here. And then hopefully there'll be a new king in town. But I just want to round things up by thanking everybody for watching the show. Of course, you guys again for coming on doing the show with me. And if you miss any of the show, it's going to be the VODs will be on youtube.com/ChanManV. Always post them right after the show. So be sure to check that out. Follow the channel if you enjoyed this show or any of my others. I'm going to have a double header today. So Unfiltered is going to be on at 5 p.m. Eastern with Total Biscuit, Cody Connors, Richard Lewis, and Destiny. So be sure to catch that if you're a fan of StarCraft 2 or just that show,
wow,
too.
Wow, what an episode.
And yeah, it's number 50, too. So it's just, I figured it would be great to have all the guys on. So yeah, check that out. And I think that's it. Follow us on Twitter, at ChanManV, at TrumpSC, and at Andre Yanuk. You should change it to Reynaud, man. Why isn't it Reynaud?
Can you? Maybe I can.
You can change it, for sure. So, but anyways, follow us on Twitter if you can. And that's going to be it, guys, for Valuetown. So we will see you next week. Later.